For our scripture reading this afternoon, we'll turn to two passages. Matthew 27 is the first one. Matthew 27, verse 59, and we'll read through to 28, verse 8. And then our second passage will be Mark 16, verses 1 through 7. As you're turning there, you may have noted in the bulletin that the theme of this afternoon is the same as this morning. And there are similarities in the sermons. There's also differences. The scripture readings are different. And I trust and pray that we will be fed, blessed, and equipped by both of these messages together by two of God's servants on the rolled away stone. So Matthew 27 then, starting at verse 59. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples' word. Turning then to Mark 16, we'll read the first seven verses of Mark 16. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." So far the word of God. In some churches, with Easter Sunday morning service, there is mention of Easter eggs, and there might be an Easter egg hunt for the children. But I want to ask the children this afternoon, are eggs mentioned at all in the Easter story in the Bible? They aren't. Easter eggs can be a sign of spring and a symbol of new life. And it is neat to get some at this time of the year, especially the solid chocolate ones. But it is not really a Christian symbol, certainly not in connection with the Easter message of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Isn't it amazing how something that the world has come up with can enter into the church's message, even when speaking of the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible must always be the source of our message, and not the world and its ideas. So instead of Easter eggs, I thought to bring along something else to church. Only I didn't bring it, because, well, it would have been too heavy. What do you think I'm talking about? The Easter story of Jesus' resurrection includes quite a bit about a great stone of quite some weight, speaking of that round, thick, mega stone door in front of Jesus' tomb. All four Gospels, in fact, make mention of this stone. Actually, I don't have to bring along a stone here on the pulpit, but you can just imagine it with me. Let's just imagine I have this huge stone here beside me and in front of you now. Let's listen to the resurrection message with the rolled away stone. For this Easter service, our text is especially Matthew 28, verse 2, where we read, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." With this and other verses in connection with Jesus' resurrection, let us consider the following 3 points in this gospel message with the rolled away stone. First, the problem with this stone. Second, the removal of this stone. And third, the opening with this stone. To understand the problem with this stone, we need to go back and remember what happened when Jesus had been crucified and breathed his last on the cross of Calvary. Matthew 27, verse 58 and following tells us that Joseph of Arimathea, along with Nicodemus, requested of Pilate to take Jesus' body and give it a proper burial. They only had a short while to do so, since Jesus died around 3 and the Jewish Sabbath began at 6 p.m. Friday evening. So in less than 3 hours' time, these men made all the funeral preparations for Jesus. This Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man and had his own tomb made in a place nearby in a garden of his. It was a special closed-in rock cave on the side of a hill that he had grooved out. And in front of it, he had a special rock-solid door made that fit in a slot just over the opening of the tomb. Jesus' body was wrapped in linen and various spices up to 75 pounds weight. They were interspersed with the sheets in Jesus' body. And then he was laid in this new tomb where no man was ever laid before. And then that big stone door, something like a millstone, was rolled in front of it and just fell neatly in place exactly over the opening of that tomb. Just imagine with me, right in front of the pulpit here, is that tomb where Jesus' body was laid. And here then is that very great stone rolled down in front of it, closing the opening solidly. Can you picture it? Several women who had been close followers of Jesus saw all this happen. And we are told now, first thing, early Sunday morning, these same women go to the tomb of Jesus to pay last respects to him, for everything had been so rushed that Friday just 3 days before. The woman also had brought spices and ointments for Jesus' body as a last expression of their devotion to him and deep sorrow and grief with his sudden and horrible death. Oh, how they missed Jesus so and were all confused and sad that he had died and was now in a grave, dead and no more with them. Do you see these women early in the morning heading to the place where Jesus was buried? From Mark's gospel, which we also read, we learn on their way, suddenly the women think of it. That big stone in front of Jesus' tomb. And they ask the question to themselves and each other, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" The woman knew the stone was heavy, and since the groove into which the stone fitted sloped downwards towards the doorway, it could be easily rolled in place, yes, but to roll that stone back up the groove and aside altogether? Well, that would require the strength of several strong men. Again, imagine me letting the stone roll down here into place. That is quite different than having to push it up and back to where it was before. Surely these women did have a real problem here, and their concern was valid. Who shall roll us away the stone from the door? It is quite clear, too, that the women were not aware that the stone had also been sealed by the Jewish leaders, and that there were Roman soldiers standing guard in front of the tomb. These things the Jewish leaders had arranged on the Sabbath, after the woman had already left that Friday night. If the woman had known about the Roman soldiers and the seal all around the stone to the rock wall, perhaps these women would not have gone to the tomb at all. Beloved congregation, it's Easter Sunday, and on this day we especially think about the joyful tidings that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He was dead, he was buried, that is, laid in an empty tomb, and it was shut tight. But on the third day, Jesus arose again, as he also had said many times he would. When we think of Jesus' death on Good Friday, we view it in light of the Easter tidings, for we may know the whole gospel story. But think of the disciples and these women in our text passage. For them, Jesus' death was a great shock and a tremendous sorrow. And the idea that Jesus would rise from the dead was the farthest thing from their minds. Their whole world fell to pieces with Jesus' death, and all their hopes were dashed. And think in that light now of these women, so sad and sorrowful, on their way to Jesus' tomb. Oh, the thought of that great stone in front of the sepulchre only further discouraged and troubled them all the more. It was a valid anxiety on their part, a real problem for them. Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? But now what I wish to dwell on further with you in this Easter message is God's victorious answer to their problem. The Easter message is a message of hope and joy, a message of relief and deliverance, a message of salvation and victory in life and death. Maybe you too this morning have valid concerns and anxieties that you are carrying in your life, heavy stones in your way that obscure your path and block your vision and steal away your joy and hope and comfort and peace. Stones in your way preventing fellowship with God. Stones in your way spoiling fellowship with others. Stones from the past. Stones in the present. And stones perhaps you see too in the future blocking you and hindering you in one way or another. Listen, in the name of God, this Easter morning, I may declare to you, whatever your anxieties and troubles, there is a victorious answer to be found with the Lord, as revealed in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the helper of the helpless and the comforter of the comfortless. And looking to Him, calling to Him, you will find out time and again, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He can deliver out of distresses when you see no way at all, and when all human help is in vain. To see this more, notice what happened with the woman and their valid anxiety, who shall roll us away the stone? Here we come also to our second main point, moving from the problem with the stone to the removal of the stone. The scripture tells us, and even if you are familiar with the story, like with the story of Joseph making himself known to his brothers, it is a moving and instructive story time and again. Wonderful words of life, really. When the woman came to the garden where the sepulchre was, and they came around the bend in view of the tomb where Jesus had been placed, what did they find? Ah, the stone was already rolled away from the door. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, it says in Mark 16, verse 4. Now, who rolled that stone away? Do you know? Did Jesus himself maybe roll it away in order to get out of the grave after he arose from the dead? No, Jesus didn't do it, did he? And we know too, the stone did not have to be rolled away for Jesus to get out of his grave. When Jesus arose from the dead, he arose with his glorified body, and he was able to leave the grave without it being opened, just as later he was able to enter a room that was locked. It's important that we understand this point well. The stone, that mega stone, was rolled back from the door, not to enable Jesus to make his way out of the tomb, but rather to enable the woman and also Peter and John and others to enter the tomb and to see that it was empty. The tomb was opened for the benefit of those who needed to learn that Jesus was risen indeed, as he said. But who took care of that, rolling the stone back? Jesus didn't do it. And the Roman soldiers, they certainly didn't do it. For we are told a great earthquake that took place early on the Sunday morning, and the sight of a dazzling bright angel or two scared the wits out of these Roman soldiers standing guard, so that they all fled the scene. We know too for sure the disciples, they didn't roll back the stone either. No, they were so sad and sorrowful, they hardly could function at all. Mark 16 verse 10 tells us they were in their homes mourning and weeping over the death of Jesus. Well, who then did it? Who rolled back that great stone from the sepulchre door? Our text in Matthew 28 verse 2 tells us it was God the Father, really, who rolled back that great stone, blocking and keeping shut the sepulchre door. Yes, God the Father, he did it. He sent one of his angels on this mission to roll back that stone. That's what our inspired verse from Scripture tells us. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Oh, that God the Father took care of this, to roll away the stone, that is very special. And it adds so much to the whole Easter message of Jesus' resurrection. Let me explain and apply this further. The woman, we said, had a valid problem and anxiety about the stone and its removal. God the Father for sure knew their trouble, and he knew too their anxiety was more than just over that stone. With Jesus' death, really, there was, as it were, a stone, a heavy stone in their hearts. And they felt like people without a hope, for whom life was totally meaningless and hopeless. But now, behold God's victorious answer to these women in their anxieties and needs. The Lord would take care of removing that great stone from the sepulchre door and that heavy stone in their hearts. He would deliver them out of their distresses by rolling back the stone and revealing to them the resurrected Savior and his endless worth. God the Father took care of rolling the stone from the door. And just from that fact of history, dear congregation, we can learn a lot of gospel truth, a lot of joyful Easter tidings. Notice, for one thing, how God the Father taking care to roll back that stone demonstrates his full satisfaction and approval of Christ's saving work on behalf of sinners. When Jesus suffered on the cross, the wrath of God against sin in the place of sinners, he cried out just before the end, before he died, "It is finished." And now, with the Father taking care to roll back that stone from the tomb, we have, as it were, his amen to Jesus' words. "Yes, my son, it is finished, and perfectly so. You have paid the wages of sin on sinners' behalf completely. And to let the whole world know that I am fully satisfied with your once-for-all sacrifice in the place of sinners, not only have I torn the veil in the temple that separated people from the most holy of holies, proving there is now free access to me through the blood of Christ, but I myself, besides that, will also take care to roll away the stone in front of the grave door for all to enter and see the victory in and through my Son." Indeed, the way the Scriptures tell the story, don't you agree, we need to notice God the Father was and is just so abundantly pleased with Jesus' saving work. This comes out not only in the fact that God had the sepulchre stone removed, but notice too how he had it removed. He had it removed very dramatically and emphatically. You would think he was excited, and truly, reverently speaking, it was so. there was an earthquake when the angel came down. And then that heavenly messenger, full of majesty and power, regardless of the Roman seal and the Roman guards, he stepped forward and rolled back that stone that was in front of that sepulcher door. And he didn't just roll it back a little so people could peek inside the empty tomb or just squeeze through a small opening. No, but he rolled back the stone all the way. And as we can learn from John's gospel account, at God's bidding, then the angel actually took the stone completely out of its groove and turned it on its side to fall flat on the ground, and then the angel sat on it too. Talk about being dramatic and emphatic. Jesus' resurrection proves God the Father is completely pleased with the perfect work of His Son. And His rolling back the stone as He did is a clear testimony from God the Father that really and truly He will receive all as His dear children who come to Him for mercy and help in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, who has accomplished plenteous redemption for sinners. And when the text also tells us that the angel sat on the stone, and in the Greek that is in the imperfect tense, meaning ongoing action, he kept sitting on there, doesn't that further declare that God the Father recognized Jesus' saving work on behalf of sinners to be such a once-for-all accomplishment that would always hold to all eternity for all people who believe in Jesus? Even death need never be a closed door anymore for those who trust and follow Jesus the Savior. The angel sitting on that stone at God's bidding demonstrated, look, sin has been paid for, Satan has been beaten, hell has been swallowed up, and death has been conquered by Christ once and for all His people, as many as repent and believe on Him. My Son obtained the victory of salvation for sinners, and for sure, all who believe on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The angel sat on the stone, asserting thereby at God's bidding, this stone has been removed from Jesus' tomb, and no one can roll the stone to the door again and make of none effect the saving work Jesus accomplished. By sitting on that stone, it is as if the angel declared what Paul later said in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand and believe this gospel too? Let us learn from God's word and be assured from this infallible, inspired book, from the God who cannot lie, Jesus lives. He arose from the dead as He said He would, and God is fully satisfied with Jesus' person and work as Savior of sinners. Therefore, also He rolled back the stone, indeed, threw back and away that mega stone from the sepulcher door. And there is still more gospel tidings of Easter joy to make known from our text. In God the Father rolling back the stone from the sepulcher door, not only is it clear that God is most pleased with His Son as Savior, but also God is most desirous that we come to know Jesus as the complete Savior for us, and that we rest in Him with all our sins and burdens and cares in life, and find our refuge and help with Him, who died to save sinners, and who arose to apply that salvation He obtained for sinners. God the Father quite obviously is intent on drawing sinners to Christ and showing what a wonderful, wonderful Savior He is. Jesus is a Savior out to help us in our greatest of all needs, and He is one who will not leave us hopeless and desolate. No, all who look to Him, they shall not be put to shame, but they shall be abundantly satisfied. How hopeless the woman and disciples were that first Easter morning, but how wonderfully surprised they became later that same day. God sure had a victorious answer for them in all their valid and seemingly valid anxieties and concerns, making clear to them that Jesus who had died had also risen again. God the Father rolled the stone away to reveal to His followers that Jesus really had risen from the dead, and they really had no reason to be sad, but every reason to be glad. I mentioned stones in our way, your way, weights of concern we carry, or try to carry, that are too heavy for us, and that block our pathway before God, and in this life and with others. Maybe you have a stone of guilt you are carrying, or a stone of worry about the material needs in your family, or a stone of burden for your children not walking in God's ways, or a stone of bitterness for things that happened in your life, or a stone of sorrow, a stone of tiredness, a stone of doubt and questions, what heavy burdens and cares people have. But think now of Easter and the message how Jesus overcame the greatest weight of all for us, the reality of death and the wages of sin. Jesus carried and removed that burden away through his death and resurrection. And taking care of that most heavy stone against us, can he not help us in whatever other way we are oppressed with anxious care? The tidings of Easter and the rolled away stone is that now we have access to a Savior God who is almighty and all caring for us in all our needs, from the greatest of our needs to the least. Yes, even for as many as will come to him. Rolling away that stone before Jesus' tomb in front of death's door, is there any other stone the Lord cannot and will not remove for us, even as we bring it to him and call upon him for his mercy and help? Leave your stones, your heavy burdens in life here today, won't you? Saying that, I also come briefly yet to our third main point, the opening now with the rolled away stone. The door of hope and salvation and eternal peace is opened for us with Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The angel that sat upon that stone, notice how tenderly and triumphantly he speaks to the woman when they come to the grave. When they came close to the opened sepulchre and saw the angel on that stone, they had such a fright at first. But the angel graciously says to them, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." After that, the angel sends the woman off to tell the disciples the blessed news. Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. And so Matthew tells us in verse 8 of chapter 28, they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. We know from John's gospel account that one of the women in the group did not stay to hear the tidings of the angel. That was Mary Magdalene. When she saw the rolled away stone from a distance, she immediately came to a wrong conclusion, thinking someone had stolen the body of Jesus from his grave, and she ran to the disciples to tell them the further dreadful news. But when she later returned to the open and empty tomb, there she became the first person to see and speak with Jesus, the resurrected Savior. Oh, how blessed that meeting was, how it changed her hopelessness into hopefulness, her incredible despair into unbelievable joy. The first words of the resurrected Savior were to Mary Magdalene, and those words were according to John 20, verse 15, "Woman, why are you weeping?" With Jesus, the once crucified and now risen and ever-living Savior of sinners, we have a Redeemer and Deliverer in all our needs before God and man, for time and eternity, for body and soul. There is no closed door for our total and eternal well-being that God in Christ Jesus can't and won't open for his people who trust and obey him. On the first Easter Sunday, it is special to think about how Jesus made no less than 5 appearances, always and again making clear to his distressed followers that truly he was not overcome by sin, Satan, death, and hell, but he was more than conqueror over them all, and that all for sinners in their stead, as captain of our salvation, as almighty and sure friend of sinners, out to save and ready to help. The Easter message Do you know it and tell of it in a world that increasingly doesn't often hear of it, nor truly know it? The Easter message is a message of hope in the face of hopelessness, a message of victory in the face of human misery, a message of eternal life in the face of eternal death. But for that Easter message to benefit us to our eternal well-being, to benefit you too, it is most necessary that you be one who is joined to the risen Savior in the way of trusting and depending on Him and staying with Him as your one and only Savior. While the Easter story relates to us how glad Jesus' followers became, at the same time it makes clear those who refused to submit to Christ and acknowledge Him as their Savior and Lord, all such remained in darkness and the misery of sin. There can be no real and lasting Easter joy where there is not faith in Christ and repentance before Him. Think of the soldiers who left in terror, and think of the Jewish leaders who continued in the darkness of unbelief, and think of Pilate and Herod who remained in stubborn rebellion against Jesus. To live and die not turning to Jesus, nor trusting and following Him, is to perish forever in and with your sins, with no hope of escape ever again. The Easter message doesn't change this, but only confirms it. We need the Lord. We need Jesus in our hearts and lives as our Savior and King. And still also this Easter, 2017, the Lord is calling all to come unto Him and be saved. The Easter message is not only that Jesus arose from the dead, but that God wants you and me to know that. And it's His revealed will that you and I and many more find our refuge with Him, and that we come to rejoice in Him as the one and only gracious, glorious, complete Savior of sinners, even for as many as come to Him. For this reason also, God the Father took care to have that great stone rolled away from the sepulchre door. God taking care to remove that great stone, you may be sure too there is no stone blocking the living Christ from you that He cannot remove. The Easter message is, bring all those barriers in your life that hinder you from sweet and daily communion with the Lord and joyful Christian living. Bring them all to the Lord, whatever is weighing you down, and see if He won't bring you deliverance. He surely will, for Easter declares, and God the Father rolling away that great stone from the sepulchre door guarantees it. Jesus lives. Jesus lives. Yes, to seek and to save, and wonderfully and eternally to help all who come to Him. Oh, thank God for Easter in a world of sin and misery and death. God's people know the fact that Jesus lives makes all the difference in the world, for time now and for eternity hereafter, and not just concerning our souls, but also our bodies. With Peter, in 1 Peter 1 verse 3, Christians respond to the Easter tidings in the form of doxology, saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." May this Easter find us all filled with true Easter joy to the praise of the living God, to whom be all glory and honor forever and ever for the great things He has done and does in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Thanks be to the triune God for Jesus, the living Savior, and for the rolled away stone that assures us He is not dead, but alive forevermore, His people ever to bless. Even so, dear congregation, sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. By His death and endless life, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And let the rolled away megastone always remind you of these glad and sure gospel tidings for all who have ears to hear. Even so, happy Easter to you all. Amen.